You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, good morning. Hey, each of you guys have received a pair of 3D glasses. If you do not follow those instructions and pick up a pair of 3D glasses, raise your hand right now, because you need a pair of 3D glasses. I can't see you because I'm wearing 3D glasses. All right, at this point, please put on your 3D glasses. And actually, can we get the house lights on? Because this is great. I need to take a picture. Look like you're having... Oh, I need a flash here. Oh, it's all okay. All right, everybody look like... We'll get some multiple pictures here. We'll start like here. Okay. Everybody look crazy and excited because you're wearing 3D glasses. Excellent. Yes, that is so exciting, Alexis. You are going crazy. All right. I can't see. These are really awkward. I actually had asked the band if they were interested in wearing them during that worship set, and it probably wouldn't have worked because it's really hard to see things. This is great. All right, looking excited. Yeah, okay, Jason's got it down, definitely. Hey, look, I know Jason. Jason's my brother. We're tight, and that is excited for him. So Jason was out here really early shoveling, scraping that parking lot. So anyway, first of all, I want to apologize to 0.5% of all the women in this room. Less than 0.5% of the women in the world are colorblind. So what we're about to do won't work for you. I need to apologize to 1 out of every 11 men, because 8% of men are colorblind. Hear my statistics about eyes and stuff? See, I know these things. I don't know why. It has something to do with cones. I like waffle cones myself, but pretzel cones are really good too. But anyway, so what we're about to do, if you're colorblind, does not work, and I apologize for that. You'll just have to deal, or you can post on Facebook how you were slighted by this church. And maybe someone will share and you can start a GoFundMe account or something like that. I don't know. But I want you to look at some pictures here, some things. So look up at the screen here and actually turn the house lights off again. Sorry. So that we can see them. So there you go. Is that working for you? Yeah. All right. There's no candy corn in the picture, but we get the feel, the harvest feel here. So cool. All right, they just touched the fruit there. Okay, next one. This one's okay. Can you see that one? Is that one working? The colors are all different depending on the projector and everything like that. Here, we can do that. They can see a little bit better. Yeah, sorry. Oh, can we go back to the other one? Because apparently the lighting was a problem. So let's just waste as much time as possible here. Ah, yeah, good. 3D image. Okay, good. High tech. So, okay, go to the one right next to it, the alley. Okay, good. Now you can see that one better. All right. Here's the next one. Oh, it's a tie dad. Sorry. You don't know what that is. You obviously weren't watching the Super Bowl. So anyway, let's skip that one. Here's a really cool one. I think this one's really cool. Isn't that nice? And what you're doing right now is you're doing a thing that's called anaglyph 3D images, which use red and cyan, which is the blue color, that filter the colors so that your eyes only see certain parts. And then here's another one. I think this one's incredible, in my opinion. Yeah, so a 3D Empire State Building there. And that's pretty cool. We're going to use these glasses in a moment again, but I just wanted to talk about seeing things. So go ahead and flip your glasses up. I guess we can hit the house lights now. But I want to talk about something that we were going to talk about 2 weeks ago. Ended up having to cancel because of the snow, which at the time we canceled, it was like, but by, you know, when we got to around this time of the day, it was like, yeah, really glad we did that. But I wanted to talk about something because we have been doing this series next for 2 months. And I think Kirk and Kendra both alluded to it, and Kara, actually, different people throughout the morning. But we have been looking, the first month in January, we were looking inward. and looking at things in our own hearts, because I said I wanted to talk about what is next for us as a church. But before we can do what's next for us as a church, we need to kind of look inside and say, what are some things we need to work on? What are some issues that we need to deal with? And now we are, and last week was sort of a spoiler because I didn't get to introduce it, but now we're going on to the second phase of this and looking outward. And I want to talk about this idea of being the church to our community, of talking to people about Jesus, of letting them know who Jesus is. And I guess I almost look at this as do we really believe? And I'm not saying we, I'm saying you. Do you really believe that Jesus is the hope of the world? Do you really believe that Jesus is the one that will affect people's eternities? Do you really believe that Jesus has the power to fix marriages, to heal relationships, to provide for your needs? And I would hope, and I know this is one of the questions in the discussion guide last week too, looking at in prime groups, do you remember when you decided to follow Jesus and what that looked like? And saying, okay, yeah, if we really believe that, then we need to, and not as a guilt thing, but we need to share that. We need to let people know. Like, this isn't something we keep to ourselves. Kendra and I went to see Black Panther on Friday night, and it just came out Friday. And I think I've talked to four people since then, like right away. Hey, I went to see it. Like, why? Because it was interesting, because I wanted to share that with other people. And I think, how often do we say things about something that matters? Because as cool as the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, and as awesome as Avengers Infinity War, sorry, total geek right now, that doesn't matter for eternity. And so I want to kind of paint this picture of here we are as a church. We're 6.5 years old. We've been doing this thing, are we perfect? No way. We're not going to be. And there's things that right now we're like, yeah, you know what? We need to improve that. We need to fix that. But at the same time, to say, hey, we're good, we're content, I think we've missed the fact that we need to be looking outward. We need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to be building relationships. And I wanted to kind of talk about, and we're going to get into this a little bit more next week, unless it snows or ices or there's a solar meltdown because it's too hot out. I don't know. But you are involved right now. You are connected in this room, listening online, whatever, to a church that is intentionally doing things not for the sake of the people that are in this church. And I'm not saying that makes us better or worse. I'm just saying that makes us different, because we are saying, you know what? We're interested in what's going on out there. So we do things that are a little bit different. We look different. Things that we dress differently. We do music in a sort of a different way. You'll hear songs in a different way. Why in the world is the Terminator soundtrack being played when you walk into church? Why? Because it's about the future. And that's what this series is all about. What's next? So anyway, so we have some things, and we'll get more into this next week. But I want to say we're doing this on purpose because people need Jesus. Because there are hurting foster children in Florida that feel like they need to respond by killing their schoolmates. Because there are people that have marriages that are falling apart and see no hope. Because there's issues all around us. There's racial issues. There's tons of political problems. And let me tell you something. I firmly believe that Jesus is the hope. That Jesus is the answer to that stuff. And I have seen him do things. I have watched him change people's hearts and change people's lives. And so I'm like, we need to get this out there. This isn't for us. This isn't for me. This is for everyone that needs to know that Jesus can change things. That's the story. That's what looking outward is all about. And last week, of course, that was supposed to be the second week of this part of the series, but you watched the video about developing relationships with people and building relationships with people that you already have relationships with. This isn't some kind of weird, like, oh, I need to go and force something. No. There are people all around you that need Jesus. and saying, okay, let's do something about that. And for me, from a leadership perspective of MC3, here's my vision. My vision is that we need to start a second service, a second worship experience. Sorry, service is what we do outside of here. A second worship experience. Because there are so many people, not from other churches, because if you're from another church, then go to your other church. They need good people. But people that need Jesus that aren't connected to church are streaming into these doors saying, I want what you've got. I want to be a part of what you have. I've seen the way you've gone through something. And it's been tough and how you've relied on Jesus. Because I've seen how you've screwed up and you've come back to Him humbly. Like just all those stories. And so that we're at a spot where there are so many people coming in here that we need to do a second worship experience. And I'm not saying that because, wow, that'll give us more money and more numbers. We had an elders retreat this past weekend yesterday. And one of the things that like, if there are more people here that are hearing about Jesus, then I am all about more people being here. Because that's the point. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about with these last 2 weeks of the series, is saying, what is next for us? What if there were that many people coming in our doors that needed Jesus and then came in and didn't go, oh my word, I need to leave this. I don't know how to dress. I don't know how to act. Like those walls, and again, we'll talk about that next week. Those walls we're trying to break down right now. But saying, what would that look like? And honestly, let's talk even bigger. What if we started a satellite campus, a separate church, a second MC3 in another county so that we can continue to reach people there? Because honestly, right now, Huntington County, I know multiple families that have said, if it was closer. And again, that's not because we're better than anyone else. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying there aren't great churches there. I'm just saying, what if? What if we said, let's do this there, and let's do this there, and let's do this there. Not to build a name for ourselves, but to build the name of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about these last couple weeks. You watched the video last week. Bill Hybels did a great job talking about that idea of developing relationships. And the point that I want us to get today, and this, again, was supposed to be ahead of last week, but it all works together, is that the next step for us, last month was the next step for me, because you were looking at your own hearts. We are now saying us, MC3, the body of Christ here in this place. The next step for us is to see people like Jesus sees them. Because I think that if we really started to look at people the way Jesus looked at them, it changes everything. Because then we don't see a color of skin. Then we don't see a political affiliation. Then we don't see, oh, one of them. We start seeing people that need Jesus, people that are hurting, people that need something more. So that's the point that I want to talk about today. So I would like you to do something for me. You need to pay attention. Please don't go to the next slide until I direct you. Put your glasses back on. Go ahead and hit the house lights again, I guess. And you got your glasses on. I want you to cover your left eye, which is the red side. Cover your left eye. Let's see if I'm doing this right, correctly. Yeah. Okay. So everybody doing that? Don't cheat. Don't cheat. And now I want you to go ahead to the next slide. And these are a whole bunch of words of the way people see Jesus. So if you see a word hidden in there, just yell it out. Careless. Okay. Wasteful. Okay. Greedy. Arrogant. Yeah. Keep going. Legal. Yeah. That legalistic, I think, was tied into that one. Sorry. It wraps around. What else? Greedy. Arrogant. Insider. Dirt. Okay, see, that is how, and there's many more words there, but that is how we often see people. We see them, they frustrate us, and we look at them that way. They do something mean to us, we look at them that way. They bother us, they're different from us. Now, switch hands, switch eyes. That is how Jesus sees people. Created. Loved. And I think part of the issue for us isn't that the people change. It's that our perspective changes on how we see people. So you can go ahead and pop them off of your head for us for a few more minutes. But the key is to see people like Jesus sees them. And I'm telling you, when you get cut off in traffic, when someone does something to hurt you deeply, when your best friend turns their back on you, it is so easy to see them in those other words. But we need to recognize they are people created in the image of God and loved by Jesus. Loved so much that He died for them. So I want to look at this passage. Now we can turn the house lights back on. Sorry. If you don't have vision issues by the end of the day, I happen to know a guy. So if the flashing lights on and off and the left, right, 3D thing, you can come and see me if you can, because you might not be able to see. But I'll send you to someone that might be able to help you. So I want to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And if you have your Bibles, you can certainly turn there. If you have a YouVersion app, tap on Matthew, New Testament, tap on Matthew, tap on 9, and we'll be at 35 to 38. I'm looking at the NLT, the New Living Translation, but any version you want to read is fine. And this is what it says. Jesus traveled through all the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields." And I think this passage, these verses encapsulate that idea of seeing people the way Jesus sees them. Because we see how He sees people. And this idea with these glasses, the reason you were able to see the some words and not the other ones, and actually it's a little bit better, the projector kind of kills some of the colors, but is because the glasses are filtering out the stuff you shouldn't see and allowing you to see the things that you should. And so Jesus does the same thing, because being God, He sees these people. He sees people that are in need of Him, people that are in need of hope, people that are in need of change. And let's be honest, that is us too. We cannot forget this. We can't go into this saying, "Oh, well, I got Jesus, I'm good." Yeah, you are just as miserable without Jesus as everyone else. So, I want to talk about the Jesus filter. How does Jesus see people? What do we need to do to change the way we see people? The first thing is that Jesus was with people. And this ties back into last week a little bit, the idea of developing those relationships. But He was with people. We can't tell people about Jesus if we're not with people that need Jesus. And I say this because, you know, again, we're youngish church, 6.5 years, that's young as churches. But it's easy, and I'm just saying it now, it's easy for us to be like, "Yeah, I like what we got going on. We're doing a good thing, us. How are you, my friend? You're just like me. We're all just like me. We love ourselves. We are all wonderful." And we forget the looking outward. And as Bill Hybels was talking about last week in the video, you know, Matthew, how he didn't give up those from his old life. And if you weren't here, you can find the link at mc3church.org and watch that video. And of course, you discussed it in your prime groups last week as well. But Jesus was with people. He didn't insulate Himself. He did take time to go alone. I'm not saying this is all that He did. He spent time in His relationship with His Heavenly Father. He spent time pouring into the disciples individually. But He was also with people. That wasn't His life. His life was not all just Him. And that's what we see in verse 35 there. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area. Jesus was around people. He said, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And I want to just clarify something here, just because it's fun. The concept that we're talking about, and I'm not going to use this word much, but the concept we're talking about, the big church word, is evangelism. Evangelism. And, you know, in my church background, evangelism meant like, "Oh no, I need to go and like knock on somebody's door and say, 'Hey, you're going to hell. Do you want Jesus?'" And like, there's all this intense stuff in evangelism. I just want you to know where that word comes from. It actually is the word good news. The Greek word is evangelion, which we have come to say evangelism is the way it's worded. But what evangelion means was this idea of good news. But it wasn't even just good news that you were sharing with people. It was actually referring to a reward that you would get for sharing good news. So, context would be, you know something good, and you see it in the kingdom, And so you go to the king and say, King, I bring you good news of great joy. That sounds like something I've heard before. Christmassy, what? He says, I bring you good news. And, you know, you being the good kingdomer, what do you call people in a kingdom? Messenger. But what are the people that live in a kingdom? Like, there's a king and a peasant. Yeah. You being a good peasant, I don't know, there's probably a better word for that. But you go to your servant, yeah, you go to your king, and you say, King, I bring you good news. And, you know, I just wanted you to know, King, over there, I saw that, you know, your crops are doing well. And if the king was pleased with your news, he would say, well done. And he would give you a gift. He would give you a euangelion. He would give you an evangelism, a reward for the good news that you shared. And so it became over time that the reward actually became so connected with the actual good news that's how it was worded. That the good news and the reward were so close. And I want you to understand this because we talk about the gospel, which is also another phrase that means good news. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. We call it good news, not because it's like, yay, it's good news. Yay. Like, that just sounds, that's not the reason. The reason is because there is something in this that is so worthy, so amazing, so incredible, that it is great reward attached to it. That those two things are connected. And again, I'm not saying you're sharing Jesus so you get paid. Like, hi, knock on your door. You're going to hell. Do you want Jesus? Oh, you do? Can I have money? Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that the concept is that this good news was so attached to the reward and how powerful it was. And the better the news, the more the reward for a king, that these two became connected so much so that, yes, this euangelion, this evangelism, this gospel message, it is good news. It is good, not for me to share, but for you to hear. Because that's what a king would do. They would hear the good news and reward them. So understand that. Like, this isn't just good for us. It's because I'm sharing this. I'm telling you about this. You are sharing this with your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, your family. Because it is good news. Not because you say it is, because it's good for them. Because it matters. There's something of value there. So Jesus spent his time teaching in the synagogues, which is where that was their church. That's where all the Jewish people gathered together, were in the synagogues. So he taught them, hey, we got all these people together, let's teach them. And he announced the good news about the kingdom of God, about what God was doing through him. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Like, he went around healing people. That's, when you're the Son of God, that's kind of a nice perk. And so he was able to do that. And he was with people. And we could read other places. I mean, he touched people that the society would not touch, lepers. When you're healing someone of a disease, he often touched them. And that is not something that people would do. So he was with people. So that's the first thing that we see. And you can't tell people about Jesus if you're not with people who need Jesus. And again, the video last week, I think, really did a great job helping you realize it's not that you're creating some kind of weird fake relationship so that you can make sure that they know God, know Jesus and what he's done. But the idea of what are the relationships you have right now? There are people that you have influence on in their lives that you might not even realize. And you might be the one that God wants to use to share the message of Jesus with them. And let me tell you, those people might be annoying. They might get on your nerves. They might be just mean. But that doesn't change the fact that they still need Jesus. And actually, that probably amplifies the fact, which we'll get into the next thing here, and that's that Jesus watches people with compassion. Jesus watches people with compassion. You good? Okay, all right. I get all nervous now about the computer. He watches people with compassion. I'm not talking he's like a stalker, but the way he looks at people is different than the way everyone else did. He sees them with eyes of compassion. He sees them in a way that says, you know what? Yeah, what you're doing right now is really annoying. But he sees through that and sees that, you know what? You're someone that needs for Jesus, someone that needs him, someone that needs God to work in their lives. And that's what verse 36 then, it says, when he saw the crowds, so he's looking at all these, he's with the people, he sees the crowds, and it says he had compassion on them. And the word compassion, like, it is such a cool Greek word. It actually has to do with the intestines. which doesn't sound really cool. But it's this idea, like, he wasn't just like, oh, poor you. I pity you. Oh, bless your heart. You know, something like that. This was an idea that says, I see someone, and despite how awful, how arrogant, how disease-ridden, how sinful, how obnoxious they are, from deep within, he has compassion. From deep within, he sees them as people that are in need of a Savior. From deep within, he feels this. It's not that's what this compassion word means. It's much more than just sort of a superficial, well, sorry. It's something that he feels deeply. He says he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And then look at how he sees them. Because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And all of those words, and you'll have a chance a little bit more to explore this in your prime groups this week. But those are words, like, if you think about it, how many, maybe you've heard this phrase used before. Well, they didn't know any better. And sometimes that's used just to cop out. But sometimes it's for real. Like, they just didn't know what to do, so this is what they did. And that might have been a negative thing or an awful reaction. And Jesus kind of sees through that and says, you know what? All the things that you're doing, the things that you're saying, the way that you're acting, it's just because you're confused. Because you think you know what's best for your life. Because you think you're okay. Because you think everything's all right. Or because they were helpless. And because they were helpless. They couldn't do it on their own. And so that's where Jesus steps in. And he sees people differently. He's looking at them with those eyes that say, okay, you matter. You are loved by God. And let me tell you, if our reaction to people, it's easy to love people that love each other, that love us. I mean, the Bible, Jesus even talks about that. But the people that don't love us, that's even harder. And if our instant reaction is this, oh my, you're awful. Wow, that was a horrible thing. Wow, I hate you. Blocked on Facebook. Don't ever talk to me. I'm going to shun you. Whatever. Guess what you just missed? You just missed a chance for Jesus to change their life. And again, God's way bigger than us. And so I'm not saying that if you don't do it, I'm not saying that God can't change hearts. I'm not saying that you have to do it. But I'm just saying there is an opportunity for you to be a part of something. And if you're pushing people away, you're not going to be able to do that. So we need to see people the way Jesus sees them. He watched them with compassion. When you look at the people around you, do you see them that way? When they are so annoying to you, when they do obnoxious things, they say things that are hurtful, do you see them the way Jesus sees them? Do you have that compassion? Because we need to. Because they need Jesus. And let me tell you what, no matter what you do, no matter how helpful you are at fixing their situation, or the opposite about how negative you are and pushing them away, neither of them are going to fix it. Jesus is the only thing that can fix this. So then the third thing, and this is so cool, is that Jesus didn't just see people with issues, but he wants people to change. He didn't look at the people around him and go, oh, wow, that's really sad, and then walk away. I mean, ultimately, Jesus gave his life for people. Gave his life for people in need. And again, you and I are those people. Jesus could have been like, you know what? You are so arrogant. I'm done with you. You know what? You have such a serious anger problem. That's it. You know what? The way you talk about people behind their back, I am done with you. The stuff that you're watching and you're filling with your on your phones and your computers, that pornography, that's wrong. And you know what? That's it. I've had my shot. You're done. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, I love you. I don't love your sin, but I love you, and I want to offer you something. And that's the thing. He wanted people to change. And that's the question that we need to answer, too. You know, looking at this, at the rest of the verse, it says in verse 37 to 38, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And what is so interesting here is, like, and I don't, if you grew up in church, you probably heard this like a billion times, because I did. But you might not be as agriculturally inclined as I am. I am an expert in all things agrarian. And And when you just take a moment to say, what does this mean? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Jesus isn't even saying anything about planting seeds, which he does in other passages. He's not saying about the importance of watering the seeds. And we did a whole series called Dirt, all about that. He's not saying that. He's not even saying, you know what, it's going to take a few more weeks, but eventually it'll be time for harvest. He's basically saying, the trees are full of fruit, and it's ready. All you need to do is pull it down. It's waiting. It's ripe. It's ready to go. But there aren't enough people out there taking the fruit, harvesting that fruit. The harvest is great. The workers are few. And so he says, pray, because God is in control of this whole thing. If you see people and you're overwhelmed, like, I can't share Jesus with everyone, pray that God will send out people. MC3, are you the people that God is sending out? Because they're ready. And let me tell you, we were talking about this at our elders retreat yesterday. Like, I am shocked. And this shouldn't be this way. I'm a pastor and like, ooh, you know. But I am shocked how open people are to hearing what Jesus wants to do in their life. Like, my impression growing up in church bubble, in the bubble of church where it was all me and all my church people, is like, those scary people out there. But I found that those scary people out there, they are helpless and confused, and they want answers. And I've sometimes said hard things. You know what? Jesus wouldn't do that. And they're like, thank you. It's just, the harvest is great, and the workers are few. There are people around us. They're not going around like, yeah, I'm so happy. My life is miserable. It's wonderful. I want to keep it this way. No. They're in desperate searching. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, there are people out there. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is great. Pray to God because he wants to see hearts change. And Jesus is working. And that's the whole point of the harvest, is that God is the one that changes hearts. And he says, they're ready. You just need to speak up and do something about it. You just need to see them the way I see them and say something to them. And God is ready to change their hearts. So that Jesus filter. Jesus was with people. He watches people with compassion. And he wants people to change. Okay, I was going to have you put the glass on, but this actually didn't work because the colors didn't turn out. But if you want to, you can put your glass on for fun. But go ahead and look at this, you know, the same point there. Jesus was with people. And if you do it the right way, if the colors work, if you color your... Yeah, see, it's not working. You're not supposed to see the second line yet. But Jesus was with people. And the question is, are you with people? And I'm not talking about other church people. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be with church people. I hope you get what I'm saying here. Like, this isn't a, let's be comfortable and happy with all the people that we know about our, you know, our way of life, whatever that means. But saying, let's be with people that need Jesus. And maybe this isn't a, you need to start being with people that need Jesus. Maybe you need to look at people differently that are around you already who need Jesus. And again, this isn't a matter of you saying, yeah, look what I did, or let's add you to our roll call, which we don't have a roll. But come into our buildings, we have more numbers or more offering or anything like that. This is because you care about people and they need Jesus. The second thing is that Jesus watches people with compassion. How do you see people? Do you see people that way? Do you look at someone that has done something to hurt you or offend you or just obnoxious, and do you look at them and say, you are such a jerk, I hope you die? You look at them and say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with you. And if you are the only person in their life that has that influence of Jesus, and they annoy you so much that you turn your back on them, please tell them, go to hell. Because that is what you're saying. And this is, I don't want this to be a guilt trip. I want this to be a, Jesus sees people and sees how hurt they are and how in need, a desperate need of hope they are. And we want to offer that. We want to say, look, I love you. You annoy me. But I can watch God change your life. And let me tell you what, I'm annoying and God is changing me. And I have watched God change people. That's incredible. And we'll get to that in a moment. But how do you see people? And if you're not sure why we would have just said go to hell, we're going to talk all about hell in April. We have a series called Burn. So we're going to spend 4 weeks in hell. So then the last thing that we saw here is that Jesus wants people to change. And that's the other question is, do you want people to change? Do you really want people to change? Because sometimes we kind of like, you know what? I kind of hope they don't. Because if they don't, then they'll get what's coming to them. And we need to see people the way we need to change our perspective, change our heart, change our attitude. Do we have that intestines that says, I see you with compassion and looking at things that way? So, those are some questions. You'll have a chance to discuss them more with your prime groups. If you're not in a prime group, small groups, they meet throughout the week. The sign-up sheets are out there. Get involved. We discuss these things. You chew on them deeper and say, what does it mean to me? How do I change that? And you have people that come alongside of you and say, look, wow, that's hard. I'm going to pray for you. I might even call you and say, how did it go this week? It's important stuff. So, the point being, looking outward, the next step for us as a church is to see people the way Jesus sees them. To see people like Jesus sees them. So I want to suggest a couple of things here. And that is that we need to stop. If we're going to see people like Jesus sees them, we're going to have to stop seeing in 3D. Because we're wearing 3D glasses. So I happen to have 3D words here. What? Yeah. So we need to stop doing some things. And this is kind of like, okay, yeah, I agree. I need to see people like Jesus sees them. I want to have that heart of compassion. What does that look like? So let me just give you a couple of examples here of some things that we need to stop doing. The first thing is that we need to stop seeing as dangerous. When we see something, we're like, oh, well, they're bad. If I talk to them, or they might hurt me, they might corrupt me, they might bring my family down. And there's wisdom in all this. Like, I'm not saying, you know, go and become, I don't know, an alcoholic or a drug addict so you can share Jesus with alcoholics and drug dealers. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we need to be aware and say, oh, they're dangerous. Oh, no, I don't want to do anything. And the response to that is we need to stop seeing them as dangerous and see the power of God. Because God can change anyone. And there is this beautiful passage that we don't see the one side of this because we're really focused on the other side. But in Acts chapter 9, and you can turn there if you want. Again, you'll be able to chew on it in your prime groups. The short version, let me summarize where we are up to verse, what is that, a 10? I can't even read that number. Up to verse 9, Saul was this guy that persecuted the church, and Jesus appears to him in a miraculous way on this road, and he goes blind and says, look, I am Jesus, and you are persecuting me, and it's time to get your life right. That's my paraphrase. And so he's blind, and God says to Paul, it was Saul, Paul, same guy, changes his name, says, you need to go to this guy named Ananias, and he is going to show you the way and show you what this is all about. So, catching up on verse 10, this is happening over here, and verse 10 kind of tells the story on this side. It says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, it's a different Judas. Judas is a very common name, so don't freak out about that. To the house of Judas, when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Now, Ananias is going, whoa. It sounded like you said Saul. He is praying to me right now. No, definitely not the same guy. No, it can't be the same guy. I have shown him in a vision a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him so he can see again. So Ananias is hearing this vision. I know the Saul from Tarsus. No. He goes on and says, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And I'm one of those believers, God. Remember? And not only has he been doing terrible things, where he literally has been killing people, been throwing them into prison. Like, this wasn't like he said mean words to them and they had to go into timeout. This was serious, awful things. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls on your name. So not only is he just mean and cruel and violent and awful, but he has the authority to do it. He is legally allowed to do all those things. And he says, so God, what? He's dangerous. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He found him. God said, go, I'm going to change things here. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, probably not like that, probably like, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit instantly. Something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. And then it says, and then he got up and was baptized. Why did he get up and was baptized? Because he had made a decision to follow Jesus. Why did he make a decision to follow Jesus? Because Ananias obeyed God, went to this dangerous guy who, you think that, oh, my coworker, they're pretty mean. They're probably not legally allowed to kill you and put you into prison because you go to church, because you believe in Jesus. And so God, in a miraculous, amazing way, changed this man's life. And Ananias was a part of that. That is incredible. And if we want to see people like Jesus sees them, we need to look and say, you know what? I could never change them, but I know that God could. And we need to stop seeing them as dangerous. And again, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm just saying that off that wall that goes up right away, like, whoa, no way. Sorry, I'm out. And watch what God can do. Stop seeing them as dangerous and see the power of God. The second thing we need to do is stop seeing as different. We often see people and like, and I wish we did this on purpose, because then we could be like, you need to stop that. But it's almost like this natural, like, if you are different than me, whatever your difference is, somehow I am superior to that. Well, I know the answer. The answer is sin. Sin is selfishness, and selfishness says me, 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 me. I mean, I had a conversation just here a few minutes earlier about why are we playing Star Trek songs but not playing what? What are we not playing? Come on, geeks. Star Wars. Right. Because we always know that Star Trek is better than Star Wars. Oh, wait, do we? Or is Star Wars better than Star Trek? I mean, Giants or Cowboys? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have these, we automatically see these things as different. And as soon as different is different, you know, it creates this wall. And, yeah, Star Wars, Star Trek. Actually, I think there have been fights at Comic-Con over those things. But really saying the real, there's some serious things. You don't live in the same area. You don't have the same position that I have in my job. You have a different skin color. You get government help. You are just old and out of touch. You know, whatever. Like, we have all these things that are differences. And we need to stop seeing people as different. And then instead see the potential. Because just because they're different. And different, and don't get me wrong. Different could be wrong. Different could be sin. I'm not saying that we just accept everything that's just because, but it's okay. It's like sin is different, hopefully, from us pursuing Jesus. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, about getting rid of the gums stuck to us, things that are holding us back. So that could be different, but also look and say, there's potential there. And in John 4:35, in this passage here, Jesus says this, and it's similar to what we were just reading, but he says, you know the saying, he's talking to his disciples, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. And you might say, well, we just read that. Why are you saying this again? Because this is a different time that Jesus says this, for one. But the biggest issue about this is Jesus saying the same thing. Look around. You think you have to wait 4 months? No. It is ready for harvest. And he says to his disciples, look around you. Why does that matter? Because in this moment, Jesus is in Samaria. And Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And we talked about this during one of the Word 3 series. Because during the exile, there were Jewish people that married in with the non-Jewish people of Babylon, of Persia. And they became known as the Samaritans. And they were despised. A good Jewish person didn't even walk through Samaria. They would go around And actually, we're talking like days walk around so they didn't have to go through Samaria, because Samaritans were hated. They were different. They were the rejects. They were the ones that didn't count, that didn't matter. And Jesus is standing in Samaria with his disciples. And we're going to go to this passage next week to talk more about Samaritans. And he says, look around you right now where you are. These people are ready to come to Jesus. They're ready to follow me. They're ready to become Christ's followers if you're willing to do it. And so he was making a statement to his disciples. Stop seeing them as different and see them the way I see them. See them as people in need of a Savior. See them as people in need of hope. And whatever the difference is, whatever that category is, stop and see the potential and say, what can God do there? Look what they can do. And Jesus saw tons of potential. Like, look, guys, they're waiting for you. Just go and ask. Just tell them. So we need to stop seeing people as different and see the potential. And finally, we need to stop seeing people as despised. And this comes more into the broken people. It's easy to kick people when they're down. It's easy to talk about the people that don't have things, that aren't as well off as you, whatever that means. You've got a good marriage, you look down on the people that don't. You've got good kids, you look down on the people that don't. You've got money, you look down on the people that don't. Don't have money, look down on the people that do. We have all these like categories of saying, oh, those people. And I probably could just left it at that, those people. Because we all have a those people. You know, if you're in Mifflin County, those people is Juniata County. Now, of course, if you live in Juniata County, those people is Perry County. You know what I'm saying? And there's this idea of like, well, yeah, look at them. Look at those people. Look at that. And we need to stop seeing despised and see the hurt. Because those people, just like you people, just like this people, is just as hurting. Just as in desperate need of Jesus. Just in desperate need, as desperate need of hope and a Savior. And there's this passage here in Luke chapter 36, and I'm going to have to fly through it because of time. But basically, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with them. And he went to this house, and you probably are familiar with the story if you grew up in church. And it said a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. So clearly, she was known as probably, at the very least, an adulterer. She had multiple husbands, multiple men that weren't her husband, slept around, maybe a prostitute. You know, we don't know the whole story, but something pretty bad there. And she learned that Jesus was eating at this Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, which is basically very nice perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping. Again, here's a woman who lived a sinful life. There's no question that she was despised. There's no question that in that culture, like, wow, do you know? She is weeping at his feet and began to wet his feet with her tears, then wiped them with her hair. So right now we're moving into this category of she's washing his feet. Servants wash someone's feet. She is washing Jesus' feet to show that she is a servant. And then she's kissing them and pouring perfume on them, expensive perfume. Here is a broken woman who is broken and beat down and worn out, and probably doesn't want to have that be known as her lifestyle. And she is here basically leaving it all, literally, at Jesus' feet. Wow. How rough. How horrible is that? So the disciples then came along and said, oh, dear woman, stand up. Come, let's hug. What can we do for you? But actually, it went this way. When the Pharisee who invited him saw, next slide, please. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, talking about Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Like, if this Jesus was for real, he would know that she's one of those people. I wouldn't let one of those people touch me. I wouldn't let one of those people come near me. I wouldn't let them into my house. I wouldn't let one of those people become my friend. If they knew, if Jesus knew what kind of person she was. And then Jesus goes on to tell a parable, and then he catches up a couple of verses later and says, then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, to one of his disciples, the Pharisee wasn't the one that said this, said, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Basically saying, and the next day it wasn't Simon Peter, it was the other Simon, it was the Pharisee. Said, she did all these things, and you are the host, and you're not even doing one or two of these nice things. It's expected. She did all of that. And he said, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. He's basically saying, look, this woman was broken, and she is hurting. And you know what? She's forgiven. Despite all of the issues, all of the past, all of how imperfect and despised and looked down upon she is forgiven because she has come to me humbly. She has come to me and offered herself to me. She is a follower of Jesus. And it's easy to look at people and see, wow, those people, that person. I mean, what does the lunch table look like? You know who those people are in the lunchroom at school? There's the good people, the in crowd, the cool people, and then those people. We need to not look at people that way. We not see them as despised, but see them as hurt, as hurting people. We're all wounded. We talked about that in the series called Wounded. We all have hurts, we all have pains, and we need to see people that way, seeing people the way Jesus is. So as we look outward, as we think about, you know, what is it going to look like if we have multiple worship experiences? Why? Because we have so many people that are hurting, that are in need of Jesus, that we are talking to, we're reaching out to you and saying, please come, let me tell you about Jesus. Well, you don't understand. I'm kind of dangerous. I could cause problems. You know what? I love you the way Jesus loves you. Well, hey, I'm different from you. I might not fit in your people. You know what? None of us really fit. We're all kind of different. And Jesus still loves you. Well, you don't know what I've done. You know what? We're all sinners. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. And he has offered himself to us. So the next step for us is to see people like Jesus sees them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you saw in deep the issues that we had. You see in deep the hurt, the pain, the problems that we have, and that we are helpless. And we are confused. And we are in desperate need of a Savior. And I pray, God, that you would help us to see others the way you saw us, the way Jesus sees everyone. That we would see them with hearts of compassion and people in need of a Savior. And as we develop our relationships with them, that we would be able to offer them something that matters, and that is you. Help us to change our perspective. And as a church, God, I do pray that we would grow because we are reaching people that don't know Jesus. We are reaching people that are outside of these doors that don't go to a church somewhere. We are reaching people that are in hurt and pain and in desperate need of Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.